I don't know how to say this, Bitterly Goose star?
You're not a child of the 80s. If you were, you would know the film with a similar name. The star is Beetlejuice.
Oh.
Yeah.
The Wire.
University of Auckland senior lecturer in biological studies, Dr. Brendan Dunphy, has spent the last 10 years studying seabirds as oceanic indicators of climate change. In particular, mutton birds or titi. I spoke to him about what the studies have entailed and what the findings were. I began by asking Dr. Dunphy why studying seabirds in Aotearoa is so important.
We are the seabird capital of the world. We have the greatest number of species of, and some of the highest numbers of birds. If we look at titi, the mutton bird, that's about 4 to 5 million birds that we have. And as the seabird capital of the world, we just have a responsibility because 90% of our birds are seabirds are facing some form of threat. And so the threats they face are from fishing or mammalian predators on land. And then out at sea, it's also climate change and big shifts in the ocean ecosystem that we kind of struggle to get our hands on, our heads around about how is that manifesting in the oceanic realm. So we're using them as a really good way of just going out every day and telling us what's going on.
And so what is the significance of titi specifically, those birds?
The significance of titi is culturally they're incredibly important. They sustain a cultural harvest as they have done for generations. And so there's a transfer of cultural knowledge for Māori who are able to collect those birds. And so if we lose the titi, not only do we lose this amazing component of ecosystems, we lose that cultural transfer as well. And so there's a lot at stake here. And the birds themselves are very important for bringing ashore deep sea nutrients. And so if you put fertilizer in your garden, this is exactly what the seabirds are doing or have done for our forests. The problem is that we've lost so many birds across the country compared to what we used to have. And so our forests, I would argue, are actually a shadow of what they should be. They're just not getting the nutrients that they once did. And so you've got to wonder what the impact of that loss is.
What is the benefit to analysing the movements of birds as oceanic indicators as opposed to using man-made technology and vessels?
One of the benefits is it's literally cost. To take one of our research vessels out that can actually go out beyond the horizon, it can cost you upwards of $50,000 a day. And so these birds are just leaving every day to do that. And so if we can equip them with the right kind of loggers, we can understand not only where they go, but how are they interacting with the environment? What are they feeding on? How stressed are they getting? What kind of pollutants are they picking up? And so all these pieces of information can be laid down in their feathers and also in the food that they bring back to their chick. So we're able to basically get that information of understanding where are they going, how much further are they flying, how much harder are they working to gain food for their chicks. And that's one of the things that we're seeing is that it seems year on year they're working harder and harder and harder, staying longer out at sea just to try and find enough food. And so that's something that's quite worrying for us.
And what did the research find were the biggest impacts of climate change on the seabirds?
On the birds themselves is that the stress levels are going up. And so they're reaching these tipping points. So seabirds are very long-lived. So if the longer they get stressed, which is what climate change is doing them, they can actually make a decision at some point during the breeding to actually just abandon their chick because they're so long-lived, they can come back and try again next year. So it's, in terms of the population, it's no problem to just abandon the chick, but it's quite an abrupt signal that something's not right out at sea. And so what we think is happening is that the food is moving away, further away, and it's actually of diminished quality that we for the birds themselves. There's not enough nutrients in it, nor energy. But these are only hypotheses that we're hoping to fill in. But we're just sort of seeing that the chicks themselves now are getting skinnier, more stressed. The adult birds are also getting thinner, basically upping their stress responses. So that might be stress hormones. Also within the blood, we'll be able to pick up all these little signals of that the birds are really struggling to feed and basically breed here in Aotearoa.
What else can the movements of seabirds tell us about ocean health?
Simply, it's one of the key things is not only are we talking about the birds themselves, but a lot of these, what we call megafauna, so it's birds, whales, tuna, these larger animals, they all aggregate together. So if we can understand what where the birds are going and how far away and how much further and harder are they working, then that gives us insights into how the whole ecosystem is working, how are the whales doing, how are the tuna doing, how are those other megafauna species, because they all feed on the same things. They all associate the same fronts. And so there's almost like these oceanic petrol stations out there that they all associate with. And so birds are really useful because we can pick them up on land, so we can gain samples from them. We can attach loggers, GPS tags, all sorts of things to them quite easily, and much more easier than we could with a whale, say, or a shark or whatever. So we're able to use them as a proxy, not only for what the bird itself is doing, but for other megafauna in the ocean. So what we're seeing is that the birds are staying out longer. They're working harder to find food, and I suspect, again, hypothesis underlined three times, but that it wouldn't be unreasonable to expect that the other megafauna could potentially be struggling as well, and that these seabirds are acting as just an indicator or a storyteller for everyone else of what's going on out there.
You briefly mention in your report that seabirds have been used for centuries by Indigenous people to learn about the ocean. How relevant did you find Maturanga Māori and Pacific knowledge in your research?
Oh, it's crucial. And Maturanga is, we're working in partnership with iwi for this project. And so one of the great examples of this is a colleague, Phil Liver, working with Māori communities. They've known that there's these big cycles that occur in their harvest. And so Phil was able to, with his own whānau, basically work out that these birds can actually predict when ENSO switches are occurring. So between El Niño and La Niña, up to 12 months ahead of when we can detect it. So this Maturanga, if we basically partner with, you know, all our, for want of a better word, Western science approaches, and we have these two types of scientists working together, then we can actually really gain a lot more in terms of our approaches for how we're going to ensure that these birds survive into the future. So I'm really excited what this project can do. I'm excited what the pieces of information that we can bring together, just ensure that we assemble the best information to make the best decisions.
That was Dr. Brendan Dumphy, Senior Lecturer in Biological Studies at the University of Auckland, speaking to me about his research and studying seabirds and oceanic indicators.